Good Sunday morning, Fair Bluff Bible Chapel. Thank you for that reply. Thank you for that. I was waiting. We'll try that again. I'll try that again. Good Sunday morning, Fair Bluff. Good morning. Good morning to each of you. I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. And as you're turning, allow me to bring greetings from a variety of folks. First of all, my dear wife, Katie. Katie and our children, Anna Kate, who is 17, entering her junior year of high school. They start on Wednesday. Our son, Johnny, who's 14, he's entering his freshman year of high school. He starts on Wednesday as well. He has a soccer game Tuesday. So greetings from my family, from Katie, my wife of soon to be 19 years, and our children, Anna Kate and Johnny. My sweet mother-in-law is with us today, Mrs. Linda Kern. We were in town for a family wedding on the Kern side, my wife's side, yesterday, and we're honored and privileged to be with you today. Just recently, the end of May, my mother-in-law moved from Miss Linda from Green Bay, Wisconsin, having resided there for about 45 years. Years or so, and moved to Dubuque, Iowa to do life with us and live with us, and we count that an honor and privilege. Greetings also from our dog. We have a dog. He doesn't speak. Well, he does, but not our language. But Wrigley Lambo is the name of our dog, and some of you get that. I grew up in Chicago. Go Cubs, go. And my wife grew up in Green Bay. So go Pack, go. There's compromise and giving and taking in marriage, right? So greetings from the Glocks, G-Force, our family. They wish they could be with us, but school and other commitments are before us all. Greetings also again from the ministry that I'm a part of. We mentioned a little bit about who we are and what we do at the last hour, but greetings from Legacy Ministry Services. Greetings from Rob Sullivan. Some of you mentioned you know Rob. Dear friend of mine from Rob Sullivan. Some of you know one of our colleagues, Nathan Griffiths. Nathan hails from Canada, but is involved in our sister organization, Legacy Ministries Canada. They do the same sort of things as we do. Some of you know a guy named Alan Dunlap. He's been involved at Mountaintop Youth Camp for the College and Career Weekend. I'm not thinking of what it's called. Impact, maybe. I'm not sure. Ignite. I don't know. What is it? Extreme. That's it. I knew it was. I was close. Extreme Weekend. So Alan Dunlap. And then in these here parts, our claim to fame, ladies and gentlemen, is Mr. Glenn Deligdish. Glenn Deligdish is one of the hardest working men I know. He is the comptroller of Legacy Ministry Services. He's of great encouragement to me spiritually and also is of great help to all of us. He is the glue. He is the glue to our ministry and keeps us all straight. Ruth, we're grateful for Glenn. He's on the road now on behalf of Legacy Ministry Services. Greetings also from Phil Boom. Some of you mentioned you know Phil, who is the president of Emmaus Bible College. All of these ministries I've mentioned are in Dubuque, Iowa. So Legacy, we have office spaces, although we all work remotely, office spaces on Emmaus's campus. So greetings from Phil Boom and the college. They're about to start classes. Students arrived this week, I believe. Athletes and student leaders have already arrived. But pray for Emmaus in the year that's about to start. I know you're connected to Emmaus through several different ways. Bill Longstreet, of course, numerous graduates, those who currently are involved at Emmaus. So pray for Emmaus Bible College. Greetings from them. Also, a brother named Steve Majeski. Steve is the president of Emmaus Worldwide, the correspondence school, Emmaus Worldwide. Greetings from them also. So when you think of Dubuque, Iowa, for the rest of your time on the planet, you ought to think of Emmaus Bible College, of course, but also Legacy Ministry Services, also Emmaus Worldwide. We're all based in Dubuque, Iowa, but serve all over the country and world. Think also of GeForce, the Glock family. We love you all. And we want to say thank you, by the way, for your ongoing prayer and care support for us, for our family. This is the first time I've been in Charlotte post-COVID. I was one of those guys who had a pretty serious battle with that virus. And I was down and out for the count for quite a while, but almost fully recovered, about 90%. I have some lingering effects. One of those is this brain fog that is really a challenge from time to time. Some people just say you're getting old, and I know that, but it's not that. It's a different kind of fog, very strange, and it happens all the time. I'll start speaking, and I will absolutely forget what I was just saying. And then I'll tell my friends and my family especially know, it'll come right back, it'll be right back, and it does. So that happens this morning, you'll understand why. So that's one of the lingering effects. I also still have a little bit of heart difficulty and take some meds on a daily basis just to help regulate my heart rate. So I really appreciate and empathize with my brother Bill Longstreet and what he's facing and dealing with even now. So grateful for Bill and Marge, their amazing hospitality and the way that they serve and give wholeheartedly. We've been staying with them in the midst of the madness for them. And you know Bill and Marge would have it no other way. So I had other plans in place, but they would not allow. So let's continue to pray for them. I want to ask a question this morning for the remainder of our time together. I don't see a clock on the wall, which I love. I enjoyed brunch. Nobody can go to sleep right now, but we'll be done at approximately the right time. Question for our consideration this morning, what is the condition of your heart? What is the condition of your heart? Not physically. We all understand the reality of the importance of having our hearts checked and rechecked on a regular basis. How many have a cardiologist these days? I have one now, and Bill is seeing one today, and all kinds of tests will be done, I'm sure. We understand the importance of having our hearts checked physically. I remember being in the hospital in Kentucky where I was kind of stuck with this virus, and after we knew I would recover, I would watch my stats. And I would see my heart rate, which was way high, and I would see my oxygen level, which was way low, and I was just asking the Lord to help me heal and recover. And it was a constant struggle daily to have my O2 numbers return and my heart rate being appropriate. And so focusing on those things physically is something I did and do far more than I used to. But we're supposed to focus on our heart condition spiritually as well. And I dare say we don't do that as often as we should. And so I want to ask you this morning, if you had to pick one word, and I'm going to give you some options, one word or a phrase that describes the reality of your heart condition today, what would it be? There's a passage in Jeremiah chapter 12, I think verse 4a, it says this about our great God. It says that He knows, He sees, and He examines our heart's attitude before Him. I'll repeat that for you. He knows, God knows, He sees, and He examines our heart's attitude before Him. Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, it says this. It relates a little bit to what we talked about earlier this morning. Verse 13 of chapter 4, and there is no creature hidden from His sight. Doesn't that sound like Jeremiah, what I just quoted to you? He knows, He sees, He examines our heart's attitude before Him. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. A translation of that phrase, with whom we have to do, is to whom we must give an account. To whom we must give an account. He knows, He sees, He examines our heart's attitude before Him. I had a teacher when I was in college. I went to Emmaus Bible College, and I had a teacher at the time who is now with the Lord. He died tragically in a skiing accident. Dr. Dave Reed. Anybody know that name? Remember that name? Dr. Dave Reed was a brother who taught me in the classroom and gave me all kinds of encouragement to serve the Lord Jesus wholeheartedly. He opened up opportunities of ministry for me. And then the classroom, we had a class entitled Old Testament Survey. And what we did in Old Testament Survey was the walk through the Bible. Maybe you're familiar with Walk Through the Bible Ministries, separate organization, no connection, but the same concept, to go through the Old Testament and to highlight the main events and to learn key words and actions, motions that would go along with that walkthrough. And so what we had to do in class, he would call our names randomly. We'd have to come up on a stage like this, and we'd have to demonstrate the walkthrough, try to do it perfectly with no mistakes, and then do it as quickly as possible. Dr. Dave was a very competitive individual, and he loved sports of all kinds, and he gave his all in everything. And so he would time us to see how quickly we could go through the walkthrough, creation, fall, flood, nations. We go through the whole Old Testament, and there'd be motions we'd be doing with that. And we'd come to the section that described the first kings of Israel, those three kings in 120 years. And for each of the periods of time and each of their reigns, there was a key word or expression. And so the first king was whom? I forget. Help me. Saul. Thanks for coming today. And so we did this. We said, Saul, no heart. Saul, no heart. And then we came to the second king, and the second king was David, a man after God's own heart. I love what it says about David in Acts chapter 13, that David served the purposes of God in his generation and died. That's the way it ought to be, unless the Lord Jesus returns, that we serve the purposes of God in our generations and then die and go to be with Him. What a great summary of his life. So for David, we had the expression whole heart. He wasn't perfect. Don't you love that? He wasn't perfect, but he was still a man after God's own heart and is remembered that way. David, whole heart. So what was Saul? Saul, no heart. David, whole heart. And then the third king was Solomon. Solomon. And the way we are to remember his reign is half heart or half-hearted. And so here's the summary of the three kings and the walkthrough of the Old Testament. Saul, no heart. David, whole heart. Solomon, half heart. 40-40-40, 120 years. I still remember it to this day. I had those classes back in the late 80s. A way to remember the spiritual condition of the first three kings of Israel. Again, I'll ask you today, our question for the day is this: what word or words would describe the reality of your spiritual heart's condition? He knows, he sees, he examines our heart's attitude before him. Everything's laid open and bare before him, we read in Hebrews. And we all must give an account. So what is the reality of our heart's condition? Joshua chapter 14 is a favorite chapter of mine. It's a chapter that has been described as Caleb's chapter. It's a chapter in the middle of the book of Joshua where Caleb, after numerous decades, speaks up and says, I want what the Lord my God has promised to me. Some of you remember the song, don't you? 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad, and thank you. 2 were good. Anybody know that chorus? Shall we sing it right now? We're not going to. What do you think they saw in Canaan? 10 were bad and 2 were good. Some saw what? Giants, thank you, big and strong. And some saw what? Grapes with clusters long, and some saw God was in it all. Here's the truth. 10 were bad and 2 were good. You can go back to Numbers. You should probably. And reread the story of those 40 days of spying out the land. And when they came back and Joshua and Caleb gave a report. But I want to bring to our attention today that it was Caleb who spoke up. It was Caleb who said, here's how it was in my heart. Numbers chapter 14, it will say something about Caleb, that Caleb was different. He was different in his heart. And it says in chapter 14 of Numbers that Caleb, there was one of those moments, that Caleb followed the Lord his God fully. So here we find ourselves in Joshua chapter 14, asking and answering this question today. What is the word? What is the phrase that honestly describes the condition of our hearts spiritually today? No heart, all heart, whole heart, half heart. What is the reality of your spiritual condition? What word would you use to describe your heart? Verse 6, then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. So who's talking here and whom is he talking to? Here's Caleb speaking up here in verse 6. You're following. I appreciate that. In verse 6, Caleb speaks up and says to Joshua, hey, you remember, don't you? You remember? It's been a minute, but you remember what God's servant Moses said to me and said to you on that day. Don't you remember, Joshua? This is Caleb's chapter. This is where Caleb speaks up and says, I want what the Lord my God has promised me. You remember. You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. He continues, verse 7, thanks for following. I was 40 years old. You remember 40? Some of you like it, not there yet. Congrats, you'll get there, Lord willing. Caleb reminisces a little bit and he says, I remember when I was 40. That's when this happened, Joshua. I was 40. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. Joshua, you were there. This is a little time for reminiscing for Joshua and Caleb. 4.5 decades have passed, and so he's saying, I remember. I remember when we went in to spy out the land, and I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. I came back and told Moses, listen, with God, we've got this. With God, we can do this. God is a God of plan, and God is a God of purpose, and God is a God of promise. And with God on our side, let's go. But the heart of the people, the majority spoke up and said, we cannot, and we will not. Did you see those giants? Are you kidding me? They will take us out. Nevertheless, look at verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me, the 10, by the way, 10 were bad and 2 were good, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear. So I have a question for all of you, regardless of age. For some of you, this will relate more to your world than others. But here's my question. How are you being influenced? And by what? We live in a world of influencers. We live in a world of being influenced. And the truth is, we are all influencers and we are all being influenced. But what a great day for you to pause and think and ask, who is it that's influencing the way I think and the way I live and the way I make decisions and what I do and what I see and what I say and where I go? Here's 10 folks who gave a pessimistic report and they negatively influenced. To what extent? It says that the others made the people's hearts melt in fear. melt in fear. Instead of responding to someone who was different, Caleb and Joshua, and what they reported and what they saw and what they said in light of what God can do. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear. But you know what Caleb says at the end of verse 8? Listen to these words. It's not going to be the first time we see these words, but here Caleb says it of himself. And seriously now, I'm asking you, what would you say of yourself in regards to how you are following after God? What word would you use to describe your heart? Caleb says, I followed the Lord my God fully. You might have a different word in your translation. It might say completely in your translation. You know what it might say in your translation? It might say the word wholeheartedly. I have one word for you today. If you're just tuning out and can't focus for whatever reason, wholehearted. May that be the word. May that be the word you walk away with, asking and answering, does that describe the condition of my heart? That I'm following after the Lord my God fully, completely, wholeheartedly. Anybody out there named Caleb, by the way, today? Any Calebs? Peace to you, brother. The word Caleb, do you know what one of the renderings of the word Caleb is? One of it is dog. One of the renderings of the name Caleb is dog. Loyal dog is one of the renderings. It's this idea of loyal love. It's this idea of faithfulness. I got you, some of you on that. Good morning. This idea of being dog-like. I mentioned my name, our dog, Wrigley Lambo. Why did I mention him? You're like, why did he say that? Good question. Our dog is part of the family. So is Stormy, my mother-in-law's dog. We are dog lovers. We treat dogs like they are part of the family. And some of you would say, no, you shouldn't do that. And I get that. They're meant to be outside. I know, but we don't live that way. There's a characteristic of a dog that was so common in the day that it was one of the renderings of the name Caleb. I have a nephew named Caleb Jonathan. And Caleb, that another rendering of the name is all-hearted. All heart. Wholehearted. And so when Caleb speaks up and he's saying, here's how I followed the Lord my God, he's saying, not only is that who I am and what my name means, but that's how I rolled. That's how I followed after God with every bit of my heart, wholehearted, all. What word would you use? What word would you use to describe the condition spiritually of your heart? The story goes on. I love the story. And now behold, verse 9. So Moses swore on that day. Here's Moses speaking now. Caleb just said of himself, I followed the Lord my God fully. In verse 8, here's Moses chiming in, or what he said back in the day, rather. So Moses swore on that day when I was 40, saying, surely the land which your foot has trodden, on which your foot has trodden, shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever. Here's why. It was said of Moses in that day, because you have followed the Lord my God fully, wholly, wholeheartedly, completely. Do you remember at the 10 o'clock hour, we were talking about a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that says we make it our aim. In all things, we make it our aim to be pleasing to Him. We looked at a verse in 1 Peter chapter 1 that says, just like He is holy, we are supposed to be holy in all our behavior. Those are verses that demonstrate what wholeheartedness looks like. And so evaluate a little bit this morning while it's still morning. And just take a quick evaluation of what you do on the internet. Think about it for a moment. whatever social media platform you happen to be addicted to, ask and answer. Does the things that you know you're going to hear, the know that you know you're going to see, that you know you're going to listen to, that you know you're going to watch, does that exemplify wholehearted living, being pleasing to God in all respects, in all our behavior, being holy like He is holy? It's important to face the music as we evaluate the condition of our hearts, because He does. He knows, He sees, and He examines our heart's attitude before Him. Moses is speaking up in verse 9, and at the end of verse 9, he says this, because you, talking of Caleb, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. Now notice what happens. Caleb continues to reminisce a little bit. And he says this in verse 10. And now behold, here we go. And now behold, the Lord has let me live just as He spoke. And I want to pause there for a moment. And I want to just emphasize the reality of this, that God is a God of promise. God does not lie. We can take Him at His word. And one of the things that He said in the Old Testament, we can apply practically in the New Testament as well. It's this principle that doing life God's way is the best way, and so we should obey. It's not just the concept for the Old Testament, it's for the New Testament as well. Doing life God's way is the best way, so obey. And one of the realities of that obedience is life. And life abundant, and life full of meaning and purpose when we do life God's way, not this world's way. And Caleb says, I did that. I did exactly. I'm someone who believes in God's promises, and I want to be faithful to that. And so I've been living just the way He told me to live. And as a result, I have had this life abundant and full. And now behold, the Lord has let me live. He's the one who gives and takes life, not me. He has let me live just as He spoke. He promised and said, if you do life my way and obey, here's what it looks like. And I've been doing this for 45 years. Young people that are scattered throughout, listen to me now when I say this to you. Please listen. I want to encourage you for the rest of your time on the planet to appreciate and honor and respect the elderly. They're terribly neglected, they're terribly ignored, and they are to be honored and lifted up. I have the privilege of working with seasoned folks, and they have much to say if we would just listen. Do you know people who have followed the Lord, their God, fully for 45 years? Do you know anybody like that? You can look at their lives and you can see decade after decade after decade after decade after decade, they've been following after God. I travel the country, college age and middle age folks who want to follow God fully. It's an epidemic everywhere. Finding staff that are seasoned and mature and are willing to serve and give and pour out to others. It's all over the planet. And so I'm saying to you now, young people, look around and look at those who are bald, which is a beautiful thing. Look at those who are gray. Look at those who have white or some odd shade of hair, because that just happens sometimes, right? Look at those folks and honor them and respect them and purpose to say, I want to be like them. There's a verse in Hebrews 13:7 that I've shared at my father-in-law's funeral and my mother's funeral and my dad's funeral and other people's funeral. It says this, Hebrews 13:7, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. There's a desperate void for folks who will be like those who have gone before us. There's a void because there's a consumption of narcissism that is permeating the land. And much of it is done through the platforms that I alluded to that are capturing hearts, minds, and souls. Intentionally, it's their plan and purpose to do so. And they're way strategic in their methodology. Past, in order to encourage us today to see examples of those who have persevered so we might do so as well with hope. I think Romans 15:4 says that. And so we have examples from the page, but we have examples in this room who with God's help and strength have followed fully, wholeheartedly, faithfully. And I want to encourage you young people especially, but those who aren't so young, to be willing to be in the minority and stand up and be Caleb-like. Caleb, Numbers 14, it says, he was different. He had a different kind of heart because he followed God fully. Who are you following after? Who is influencing and owning your heart? And now behold, the Lord, verse 10, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years. From the time that he spoke this word to Moses, when Israel walked in the wilderness, and now, behold, I am 85 years old today. Happy birthday, Caleb. I always think that, regardless of the day, when I read that verse. I was 40 when this happened. 45 years have gone by. Simple math. And even if we don't know how to do simple math, he tells us, 85. But notice what he says in verse 11. I talked to some of you at the break, and we can't say this, what we find in verse 11. Notice what he says in verse 11. I can still bring it. Let's go. That's what he says in verse 11. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now. For war and for going out and coming in. Now then, he says in verse 12, don't you love verse 11? Stronger today than I was then, 45 years later, hello. For war and for going out and for coming in. Now then, here's what I want. Give me my mountain. I want my hill. I want what the Lord my God has promised me. Is that wrong? It's not wrong. Is he being proud and arrogant and braggadocious? Certainly not. He's saying, I believe in God, and I've been doing what God has called me to be and to do, and I just want simply what he promised. And he brings that to the attention of Joshua. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Listen to what he says in the end of this verse, please. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out as the Lord has spoken to me. We see an important nod of acknowledgement by Caleb, recognizing that in and of his own strength, no can do. But with his strength and with his promise and with his presence and with his power, let's go. So Joshua blessed him. Verse 13, and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Look at verse 14. Thanks for following. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzanite, until this day. Why is that? Why is it known through the halls of history? Why is it known of Caleb, this final statement? Because Caleb said it of himself, Moses said it of Caleb, and now it's being said by others, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully, wholly, wholeheartedly, all-hearted, like a loyal dog. He followed the Lord his God. What about you? And what about me? In a day, in a culture, in a society that promotes living for the moment and living for self, in a church and evangelicalism as that has taken the concept of grace and has twisted it and has abused it to allow for licentious living. Will we be a people who stand up and say, I will follow the Lord my God fully, wholeheartedly, completely? Now, I'm going to do something that I don't always do, and I hope you'll invite me back. But when I'm at camp, I often do what we like to call the momos. I've done those here before at Fair Bluff, and I'm going to do them with you as well. And so here's what I'm going to invite you to do. You don't have to. Nobody's going to notice that you're not standing up. But if you are willing to participate and learn this closing momo, I invite you to stand with me. And if you don't want to stand, no worries. But I invite some of you to, those who are willing. And here's how we're going to do this momo. It's silly. It's kind of ridiculous. And you're going to make it through this tough time. But this is what we're going to do. Some of you have seen on TV or some other way where you take a pen and you try to, without looking on a whiteboard, make a complete circle perfectly, right? And land on the place where you started, complete circle. So that's how we're going to begin this moment. We're going to say this. We're going to just say whole, like a circle, right? Make it as perfect and complete as possible. Whole. And then we're going to bring our hands together. I wish I had a camera and I wish I could take pictures. And I wouldn't post them, I promise. But we make this circle and we say, whole. And then we bring our hands together like this sincerely and we say, heart it. That's the first part. Can we do that together? Here we go. Whole, heart it. Here's the next part. Just stay standing. It's okay. Some of you know about mimes, you know, miming. I don't mime, never have. White makeup. They can't speak, so they do motions, right? They sometimes imagine a heart is in their hands and they're holding it as it pumps. And so we're going to add a little twist to this momo. We're going to say wholehearted, but we're going to let our hands pump and we're going to do dun-dun, dun-dun, dun-dun. Three times. My cardiologist has confirmed, and I have another cardiologist who confirmed as well, dun-dun is correct for each beat, okay? So, dun-dun, all right? So that's the next part. We're almost done. Some of you are rejoicing with that fact. Here we go. Whole-hearted. Dun-dun, dun-dun, dun-dun. Now, here's the last part. This is a term that is used in the sports world. My kids use it. Kids I work with say it all the time. So we're going to cup our mouths like this and say this enthusiastically. We're just going to say, in light of Caleb, in light of Joshua and others who have gone before us, we're going to say, let's go. That's it. See, he knows. He knows, right? I love that. I love that. Thank you for that. That's the whole thing. So can we do it together? And then I'll leave and I'll never see you again. I'm just kidding. Here we go. Let's do it all together. Wholehearted. Dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun. Let's go. Stay standing. Let's pray. Father, help us to realize that just as it's important to examine our hearts physically, to see our cardiologist, it's important to examine our hearts spiritually. And you do that. You know, you see, and you examine our hearts' attitudes before you. So may we all do that together today and ask and answer the question, am I no-hearted like Saul? Am I half-hearted like Solomon? Or am I whole-hearted like David, like Caleb, like Joshua, like many others who have gone before us or who are living out their wholehearted faith in front of us. Father, help us to face the music and admit to the reality of our heart's condition and to decide anew and afresh that we're no longer going to live for ourselves, but rather to live for the one who died for us and rose again. So may we be like Caleb. May we be all-hearted, wholehearted, fully, completely, with all our hearts, following after you. We ask that we would do so, living in light of who you are and what you promised. Help us to remember that doing life your way, God's way, is the best way. So obey, and may we see as a result the abundant life we have now in the midst of heartache, struggle, and difficulty, and glory that we have to look forward to. We praise you for these truths. Help us to surrender all, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.